and welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buehr.
And I'm GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys back to this Senior Day edition as we get to talk about the Gophers' final home game of the 2018 season as they take on the Big Ten West champions, the Northwestern Wildcats. But before we get into that, Luke, do you want to give the folks word from our sponsor?
Yeah, so this season has been sponsored by the Goal Line Club. If you know nothing about the Goal Line Club, you probably haven't listened to many of these episodes. You should go to their website, goalineclub.org. There you will learn that they support Gopher football and only Gopher football. There, it's a great way to support PJ Fleck and what he is doing in Gopher football today and going forward. So again, goalineclub.org.
So this is an interesting game.
You wouldn't say because, by the way, if you haven't noticed, the Gophers are one game away from bowl eligibility. They have two shots to gain it. This was determined success, right? That's what we determined as success, getting to a bowl game. And now you've got a Northwestern team who is 6-4 on the season. What, they have 5 or 6 Big Ten wins? But they have 6 Big Ten wins, and they can't win a game in the non-conference. Like, what makes any more sense than that?
This is a team that lost to Akron at home, lost to Duke at home, but has won 13 of their last 14 Big Ten games. This is a team that's beaten both Wisconsin and Iowa, but in that same time range, damn near lost to Rutgers. It's just, you never know what you're going to get on any given week with this Northwestern team. That being said, they have won, as I said, 13 of their last 14 Big Ten games. But I think as we'll get into this podcast tonight, Luke, the question is going to be who's playing for Northwestern.
Yep.
Because they have 2 weeks left here before Indianapolis when they take on more than likely Michigan. They play Minnesota and Illinois, not exactly murderer's row. And they've already come out and said they're going to rest their top defensive back, or not rest, but he's a little bit banged up, and they don't think that there's any point in putting him out there. So we have some interesting things to dive into tonight. But first, do you want to talk a little bit about the depth chart and the injury situation?
I think we do want to talk about the depth chart and the injury situation. I am not a depth chart or injury mind or elite mind by any stretch of the imagination. But I did notice a guy that used to play wide receiver who I was high on. I apparently need to basically dial back those takes. He's now a defensive back, and he might be ahead of a certain Justice Harris.
Yeah, how funny is that? Number one, Philip Howard, as PJ Fleck talked about, we talked about it on Gopher Illustrated, that Philip Howard is now going to be a defensive back here for the next, as we record this on Wednesday night, for the next 3 days. They're going to reevaluate after that, but they're short on some bodies right now. And they need to figure out how are they going to be able to field enough bodies, because you saw Coney Durr go down with that ankle sprain on his right ankle. Keandre Thomas, he's out there. Ray Estes can't do everything right off the field still. And now you're getting down to Chris Williamson and Terrell Smith, who are already starting and playing. So I think it's hilarious that Philip Howard has been a DB for 48 hours, and he's already listed above Justice Harris in the depth chart, which...
Then again, we have to take that with a grain of salt. That depth chart usually isn't worth much.
Hey, this depth chart's been actually pretty good this year. I don't have any qualms with this depth chart. I have zero qualms with it. So I'm going to take it at its word, and it's going to be interesting to see if Philip Howard actually gets back out there. The only other depth chart and changes that are worth talking about is Donnell Green is now back listed as the starting left tackle. He wasn't even listed on the depth chart last week, yet he started at left tackle for Minnesota. Antonio Chenault has been completely taken off the depth chart, so I'm not entirely sure that we're going to see a ton of him on Saturday, but if there was going to be one final game for him to play in, you'd think it's going to be Senior Day. And then other than that, it's a lot of the same. Minnesota's still as healthy as they relatively can be at this stage of the game. So we'll see if O.J. Smith is back or not. I know that if you're a Gopher Illustrated member, you've seen the back and forth between Gobi and myself about, is O.J. Smith actually healthy? Is he not? Here's the 100% God's honest truth. He was out multiple weeks with a concussion. Sounds like he's been cleared here for 10 days or so. And I would imagine you might see him against Northwestern, but the reality still remains he was out multiple weeks with a concussion that has long-term consequences, even if we're not talking about the short-term in this weekend. So Gobi sounds pretty confident that he's going to play this weekend. I'm a little bit more leery of it, even though I've done some of my own source checking there, and it sounds like Minnesota may be able to play him this weekend, but we'll see. So other than that, I mean, it's just Philip Howard, now a defensive back, and we're going to have to see if he's actually used there.
All right. So I guess not a lot of surprises there. I guess the one thing I think we should touch on depth chart wise is just quarterback, right? This is a position now that seems to be the reins have been taken by Tanner Morgan. I don't know if I see a lot of difference between the two, other than you pointed out a very, very poignant fact. I'm sorry. A very poignant fact that Tanner Morgan has seemingly taken better care of the ball than Zach Anik said. And that's probably the reason at this point that he's kind of got the reins to the ship. Wouldn't you imagine?
I would think so. And I know that's your flaming hot take, which
I think that Anikstead projects higher than Morgan just as a thrower. But
I still think that too. But at where we're at in the season here, you look at the point outputs that Minnesota's put up in the three starts with Tanner Morgan, Indiana, Illinois, and Purdue. What they put up against? So they put up 28 against Illinois. They put up 38 against Indiana, and they put up 41 last week. I mean, the offense is humming with Tanner Morgan. And, yeah, you know, we're going to have serious discussions on this podcast about who the hell the 2019 quarterback is, whether it's Anikstead, Tanner Morgan, Jacob Clark, Cole Kramer. We can get into that later. But for this week, it's going to be Tanner Morgan. And he continues to take care of the ball. I mean, you look at his interception last week. Well, it's not his fault that Chris Ottenbell short-armed it and then deflects out in for a interception. So he's got a 6-3 touchdown to interception ratio. He continues to take care of the ball. You take out those drops or you – I guess, say they caught the ball. I think he's like 15 of 18 last week for 200-plus yards, two scores, and no picks. So while I do agree with you for the most part that long-term, I still think Zach Anikstead's ceiling is higher. Tanner Morgan's running this offense efficiently. He's taking care of the ball. And when you have a Northwestern team coming to town that this projects to be a very tight game, I think that Tanner Morgan's style of play makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's talk a little bit about when the Gophers are on offense. We focused a lot on defense, so maybe leave that to the end. So when the Gophers are on offense, you know, this is a Gopher offense. It's averaging 29.1 points per game. Northwestern is only giving up 23 points a game. They're arguably one of the most stout defenses in the Big Ten, at least maybe most consistent, keeping their team in the game week in and week out. They're giving up 374 yards of total offense, 237 on the ground or through the air, sorry, and 135 on the ground. So they've got a stout run defense. You know, and as you've noted, they've played a pretty good slate of games. In their last five, they've beat Iowa. They lost to number four Notre Dame, who looks bound for the college football playoff. Beat at the time a ranked Wisconsin team. Had a real tight one with Rutgers, and then had a tight one again with Nebraska and won in kind of heartbreaking fashion if you're a Husker fan. But at the end of the day, their defense is what's kept them in it. So what are the Gophers going to have to do on offense to pull out a victory here this week?
You look at this Northwestern defense and just the type of games that they've played in Big Ten play. Start the season against Purdue. Purdue should have beat them. I remember that game very vividly. Purdue gets two late personal fouls to give them the game, but it's a four-point win. Michigan, three-point loss. Michigan State, 10-point win. Nebraska, that game where Nebraska blew that one as well.
Right.
It was like a 99% chance for Nebraska to win that. They were up 10 with something silly like 2 minutes and 30 seconds to go. Nebraska blows it. Northwestern wins in overtime. They win by three. Rutgers, I watched that game into the fourth quarter. Northwestern's losing. They find a way to win by three. Beat the Badgers. I don't remember if Alex Hornibrook was playing in that game or not, but they beat the Badgers by 14, lose to Notre Dame. And then last week against a ranked Iowa team, they win 14-10. Now you look at this Northwestern team, what's the recipe for success? Well, they haven't given up more than 21 points in their last four games, and you're looking at a Gopher offense that at home is averaging over 35. In Big Ten play, that is, anyway. So the question I think that we need to dive into is Northwestern was already without three of their top four defensive backs going into that Iowa game. Now, Pat Fitzgerald said, I believe on Monday, that their top corner, Montre Hardage, I think that's how you say it.
Good luck. I don't have a clue.
Montre Hardage, he leads the team. He's got 14 passes defended. He's their by all accounts, their best defensive back. Fitzgerald already ruled him out for this Minnesota game. So you look at a Northwestern secondary that is without four of its top five defensive backs. Now they get Tyler Johnson, Rashad Bateman, Chris Ottman-Bell, Seth Green, Demetrius Douglas. That's going to be the big matchup of the day, is if can Tyler Johnson, can Rashad Bateman, and can Kirk Shirakis scheme this to where you know that they're battling some injuries back there. You know that they're not at 100%. So how do you get them the ball and stay on schedule offensively? That's going to be one of my keys to the game, is Minnesota has to stay on schedule, because Northwestern's pass defense, when they're in passing downs, is one of the best in the country. Now, this is a Northwestern defense that really, really struggles to generate any kind of pressure. But if they keep you off schedule, say in the 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, instead of 3rd and 2, that's where they really excel. That's where they've been so good. But I'm very curious to see what this Wildcat defense looks like without their best player in Hartage. I mean, I think you'd have to give a comparison to Minnesota without Antoine Winfield, and say they're already without Chris Williamson, Keandre Thomas, and Tee Time. I mean, is this the one that finally breaks the camel's back? I think that's the big question mark I have going into Saturday morning's game.
Yeah, and you know, they've been a stout run defense, right? So you got to imagine that the Gophers are going to try to exploit them through the air. As we were well aware, Shiraka has done a great job of identifying weaknesses and trying to exploit them. Or, you know, as the Gophers have strengths and an opponent tries to take it away, he's found a good way to counter. So it'll be interesting to see the chess match that goes on when the Gophers are on offense, especially against a very stout Northwestern defense, even though it might be down a couple players.
It is, because you look at Wisconsin's Jonathan Taylor, by all accounts, one of the best running backs in the Big Ten. Northwestern held him to 46 yards. Iowa running backs last week went for 50 yards. Michigan State running backs went for 27 yards. This is an extremely stingy run defense, which is why that pass offense for Minnesota is going to be extremely vital. And it's going to be the best test for this Gopher offensive line that they've seen all year.
Yeah.
We've talked about for weeks about how well we thought that, or we think that, this offensive line is currently playing, especially in the run game with the tight ends. Well, Minnesota's run offense has been plowing their way forward. Now they're going to get a fantastic test this weekend with Northwestern.
Yeah, and it will be interesting. You know, it's a question that I've been pondering a little bit here and there, is what is the Gophers' strength offensively? Because I don't know that they, you know, obviously last year all they wanted to do is run the ball, but this year they're much more balanced. But I think that from a big play perspective, obviously through the pass, they are definitely more explosive. But they've been pretty steady in the run game, and that's really one of the reasons I think we're both pretty optimistic about this offense going forward in the next couple seasons.
Well, they can finally be balanced, something that we
exactly
haven't been able to talk about. And so you have Mohamed Ibrahim running into these non-loaded boxes, which I feel like I should tell podcast listeners here. I did interview Mo Ibrahim today, and I shook his hand, and it was very cordial, and I still think he's a good running back. I just don't think he's the reincarnation of David Cobb, as some people like to think that he is. So Mo Ibrahim's been much more decisive. His vision has absolutely been improving. This offensive line has been creating some massive holes with him, along with the tight ends. The passing game has been getting on track because this offensive line has been giving whoever the quarterback is much cleaner pockets, with Daniel Faalele now considered there. Rashad Bateman has run through that freshman wall. I looked at today. Rashad Bateman is 8th in the Big Ten in receiving yards a game right now.
That's good.
And Tyler Johnson is 1st. So you talk about a wide receiver duo to build on for the future. I think you have a lot to build around with those two. So again, I think that Minnesota's strengths are going to be going also against what I believe is going to be Northwestern's strengths for this game. And it's going to be a chess match between Pat Fitzgerald's defense and Kirk Shiraka's offense, and who's going to break first.
All right, before we talk defense, let's talk a little bit about our sponsor. There are no more tailgates to sign up for. You can, you know, if you're driving, you know, you can raise a hand out the window. You're probably excited we're not going to talk about tailgates. But what I will say is, if you do notice at the game on Saturday, you'll notice a number of the senior player parents probably are going to be in a jersey and or a winter coat of some sort, because if you haven't checked, it's been pretty cold around Minnesota of late. That's the Goal Line Club, folks. That is part of what they do to give back to Gopher football and make it more of a family friendly affair for some of those players, you know, whose families may not be able to afford or may not live in a harsh climate like we have here in Minnesota. So if you're interested in joining them and, you know, participating, giving back to even just those families in general, not just the football program, the Goal Line Club's a great way to do that.
It absolutely is. And I think maybe the better things about the Goal Line Club that we don't touch on a whole lot is that if you become a Goal Line Club member, 100% of your donation goes strictly to the Gopher football program. So if you want to donate money to the university, but you want to make sure it only goes to the Gopher football program and not just the general fund, well, get a GLC membership and it goes straight into essentially PJ Fleck and his coaching staff's pockets in terms of what they need around the office, different things like that. So if you want to support this Gopher football program, you can get a membership at goallineclub.org.
All right, let's chat a little bit about when the Gophers are on defense. We know that this has been a weak spot for them all season. You know, they had a great game against Purdue, arguably their best defensive output against probably one of the hottest football teams in all the Big Ten in Purdue last week. But, you know, Northwestern might not be the juggernaut offensively, but they're just finding a way to scrape by. I look at their points per game. They're averaging 23.6 points per game, and if you remember, defensively they're giving up only 23.0. So just barely they're scoring a few more points than their defense, pardon me, gives up. But when the Gophers are on defense, you know, it hasn't been great. You know, statistically, they've been giving up, you know, around 400 yards a game. Northwestern, conversely, is averaging about 350 yards of total offense, only about 100 yards on the ground and 250 through the air. So they are by no means, you know, an explosive offense or one that necessarily is going to get a lot of rave reviews. Cody Thorson, the quarterback. Can you remember when we thought that was
Clayton
a big
Thorson, or is Cody his cousin that started?
Oh my goodness, Clayton Thorson. I am just terrible with reading today. But Clayton Thorson, do you remember when we thought what a big miss by Clays and Kill? I think he's been pretty pedestrian. You know, 12 interceptions to 12 touchdowns this year. He hasn't necessarily gotten a lot better as his career has gone on.
He's been in an absolute funk of late, and Minnesota's going to need to have that funk continue to be funky, because Northwestern's offense the last 3 weeks, now they've played some pretty good competition, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Iowa, amongst the other team being Rutgers. You look at this Northwestern offense, they've only scored over 21 points once. Now, there's some pretty good defenses there, like I mentioned, but Clayton Thorson's just been bad. And I talked to the Northwestern beat writers about him, and they're like, yeah, he's been off. You know, he'll make a good throw, but then he'll have three or four where it's like, what was that? Now, in his last four games, he's completing just over 50% of his passes for an average of a Mitch Leidner-esque 145 yards per game passing-wise, with a touchdown-to-interception ratio in the last month of 3-5. So more turnovers than touchdowns, 145 passing yards a game. It's pretty bad. I mean, this is a Northwestern team that essentially reminds me a lot of that 2016-2017 Minnesota team, where the defense has been sensational. The offense does just enough to get you the win. But the question is going to be if Minnesota's offense can continue its hot streak, which until we can see otherwise, I don't know why you'd have doubts with this passing game right now. Can Clayton Thorson get this team back through the air? Because he hasn't done it of late. Now, they've been using Isaiah Bowser, a freshman running back, because Jeremy Larkin, their star running back, who is going to replace – who is the running back that Northwestern had? He's on the San Diego Chargers.
Oh, God, I cannot think of his name either. He was amazing. He started his – starting – I think it was his freshman year he started, and he started all the way through. I think he broke a bunch of records at Northwestern and even the Big Ten.
He was sensational for them. And Jeremy Larkin was supposed to be the guy that replaced him, and he was doing a great job in doing that, except then he got some kind of medical condition that he had to retire from football. You know, it's unfortunate for the young man. But Isaiah Bowser is just a big back that's going to keep the pile moving. It's a guy that has been averaging 28 carries a game the last 4 weeks. He just saw 31 carries last week against this Iowa team. And so when you look at this Minnesota defense, Joe Rossi even said it today, like, you know, he doesn't want folks to expect that Minnesota is going to hold teams to 10 points and not a single third down conversion. It's not realistic. I think this Minnesota defense is going to have to limit Northwestern to 21, 24 points, because I think Minnesota can get to 28, but it's going to be such a tough ask even against the Northwestern defense that is dealing with some injuries. So I'm not overly concerned about this Northwestern offense. They continue to make big plays when it matters. Like, you look at last week's game, Clayton Thorson had been bad all game, and then he makes a key throw to a wide receiver who makes a diving catch in the end zone, wins them the Big Ten West title. Clayton Thorson seems to make the big play drive in the fourth quarter when it matters. And so if Minnesota is going to have a chance, they're going to have to get him off his, you know, get him on his heels, get him to continually make bad decisions, and they're going to have to stop the run. Because you can't get any more bipolar than this Gopher run defense the last 2 weeks. They gave 430 to Illinois, and then last week they didn't even – they allowed negative 2 or 3 yards and before garbage time. So I'm hoping it's somewhere in the middle there, hopefully towards that negative 3 side. But this Gopher defense is going to have to play good. They're going to have to play well. They're going to have to stand tall on senior day and give their offense a chance to figure some things out on how to attack this Northwestern defense, because it's not going to likely click right away as Minnesota continues to make adjustments. So does Pat Fitzgerald. But you have to keep your offense in the game.
Yeah, that running back was Justin Jackson. Yeah, and he was really good. So so I guess for the Gopher defense, I guess what I'm curious is, you know, we were able to see them kind of manufacture some pressure this last week, you know, with that wide nine outside of Carter Coughlin. Do you think that that's going to be a key for the Gophers, especially in this game, especially if they can find a way to get up early, you know, putting pressure on someone like Clayton Thorson if you know, he's playing from behind?
Ideally, you'd be in a 13-3, 10-3, 10-0 kind of a lead going into the second quarter there, or heading into halftime, because if you're able to do that, then you can absolutely do what Joe Rossi did last week. Use Carter Coughlin as kind of a sacrificial lamb at times, to where the defense was putting so much attention on him that they were using different stunts with Carter to generate pressure with either a defensive tackle coming around, a defensive end coming around, or a linebacker coming around. That's where Kamal Martin was really excelling. So ideally, I mean, you stop the run and you're able to get creative on defense, but I think that has to be the number one key, is stop Isaiah Bowser, stop this Northwestern running attack. And if Clayton Thorson beats you through the air the way he's been playing, then more power to him. He's a senior quarterback and a Big Ten West champion team. But I think the recipe for success is stop Bowser on the ground, make Thornton beat you, and make sure that you generate some kind of pressure.
All right, so when we look at this game, weather-wise, it's looking like it's going to be pretty chilly.
A balmy 28 degrees to you, sir.
A balmy 28. Starting at, you know, the low of 16, so it'll be a pretty cool morning. Looks like there's a slight chance of some snow, you know, overnight, so they'll be cleaning off. I would imagine they'll be cleaning off the field for the game. So you'll see maybe little piles of snow in the corners of the end zone by chance. But then, you know, around kickoff, I would imagine that the temperature is going to be, you know, right around 20-ish degrees, moving into 26 by game end. If you look at this game, you know, from a betting perspective, the Gophers actively are a one-point favorite, where the opening line was 3 points. So either money went a long way towards the Gophers, that or Vegas feels like this game is not being bet, and they think that the news of, you know, some players sitting out, maybe they have a hunch that Fitzgerald is actually going to sit more players than has been stated, has pushed this to a Gophers at a minus one. Were you surprised by that, Ryan, by chance?
I looked at this afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, probably around 2 p.m., and I saw that Northwestern still 2-point favorites. Then I saw everybody's favorite sideline analyst, Justin Gard, tweet out that Minnesota is now 1-point favorites. So the points swung 3 in 4 hours. That's a huge swing. So that tells me, one, there's a ton of money coming on Minnesota, and folks in Vegas is scrambling to adjust the line. And two, why is all this money coming in on Minnesota? Is it because they've been playing much better at home? Is it because folks think that Northwestern is going to rest some guys? Is it because They just don't think that Northwestern's going to show up. It's a letdown spot. They just won the Big Ten West Championship. Now they have Minnesota and Illinois to end the season. Not exactly murderer's row. There's a lot of question marks. I'd love to kind of pick the odds makers' minds out in Vegas. And I don't care if Northwestern can play their entire second team. Minnesota can win by 17. I don't care. It means a bowl game. And a bowl game means progress. So I was absolutely surprised in a 3-point swing in 4 hours.
I can see, and I'm seeing the over-unders anywhere between 47 and 50. They're expecting a fairly low-scoring game, but maybe a fairly high-scoring game by Northwestern standards. But, you know, what we've seen where games are, you know, in the 60 and 70 points total, this is going to be a low-scoring game for the Gophers. All right. Other than that, the only thing that stood out to me from a betting perspective that I found interesting, Northwestern on the season is 5-3-2 against the spread. That is, I don't know how common that is. I don't pay attention to against the spread records very often, but I got to imagine the two meeting it is pretty unlikely. So that's very interesting, at least from my perspective. Okay, Ryan, what are your keys to this game for the Gophers?
My first key would be the offense needs to find a way to stay on schedule, because the big reason why Northwestern's won 13 of their last 14 Big Ten games is because of their stingy defense. Now, Bill Conley of SB Nation, one of the best college football writers out there, wrote about this Northwestern team this week. You can see it. It's on my Twitter feed. And one passage in particular I want to talk about from it, in quote, stop the run, leverage opponents into passing downs, and force a punt. There are worse defensive recipes than trying to stop the run, get them into passing downs, and making them punt. Northwestern hasn't been great at defending the pass this year, but most of that's on standard downs. And for those of you who don't know standard downs, think of 2nd and 5, 3rd and 2, those type of downs. But once opponents get behind schedule, the drive ends against this Wildcat defense, because Northwestern is 16th in the country in passing down defense. And that's despite a pass rush that's been lacking on all fronts from a singular person. Opposing quarterbacks are not being pressured, but they're also not finding open men on 2nd and 3rd and long. I mean, that was the key to them beating Purdue, Michigan State, Rutgers, Wisconsin, and that's where their senior cornerback, Montre Hardage, comes into play. Well, he's going to miss the game this weekend. So if you're able to stay on schedule against this Wildcat defense, you can score points. That's exactly what Nebraska did. That's what Notre Dame did. And damn it, that's what Akron did. This is the same Northwestern team that lost to Akron at home and gave up 30-plus points to them. So if this defense for Northwestern is able to put Minnesota off schedule, that's where I'm getting concerned. Now, if Minnesota is able to get to 2nd or 3rd down and manageable, the question is going to be, how did they do that? How did they do that? Because Northwestern, Luke, you talked about it earlier, is one of the top run defenses in the Big Ten. I mentioned how they held Michigan State running backs to 27 yards. They held Jonathan Taylor to 46 yards. They held Iowa running backs last week to 50 yards. And Minnesota's running game has seen a lot of growth since Daniel Faalele was inserted into the starting lineup, since Mo Ibrahim decided to have fantastic vision, hit the hole extremely hard. And that tight end group has been playing exceptionally well, opening massive holes. But this is going to be the Gophers' most difficult test in the Big Ten yet. So if they can't move it on the ground, which they likely are going to have trouble doing at least early in the game, Tanner Morgan is going to have to push it through the air. Northwestern's going to be without 4 of their top 5 defensive backs, including their best one, Montre Hardage. So if you're Kirk Shiraka and this Gopher pass catching core, you struggled at times last week, but you're going to have a lot more on your plate this weekend. I would imagine Minnesota's going to air it out much more than 20 times than what we saw last week. So if Minnesota is able to put up points here, which they've done at home, they're averaging over 35 points a game in Big Ten play at home this year, they're going to have to be able to stay on schedule. Number 2, they're going to have to be able to keep Clayton Thorson's hot streak into a cold streak. It's going to have to remain cold, because Northwestern has won 3 of their last 4 games, including wins over Iowa and Wisconsin, but it really has not been because of their quarterback. His stats in the last 4 games for Northwestern: just above a 50% completion percentage for a Mitch Leidner-esque, 145 passing yards a game with a touchdown to interception ratio of 3-5. It's pretty bad. And now I'm well aware that Iowa, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, damn solid defensively. And Thorson, in that same breath, has just been off his game. It's an offense that has only scored 21 points once in the last month. So to keep Thorson running cold, defensive coordinator Joe Rossi is going to have to stop the run, something that they did last week against Purdue. But Northwestern running back Isaiah Bowser has been finding a lot of success of late. In the last four games, he's averaging 28 carries a game for 120 rushing yards and a score. And he's coming off a performance against Iowa where he ran for 165 yards on 31 carries. So it's either been hot or it's been cold for this Gopher run defense. The last 2 weeks are a prime example of that. There is no in between. Now, the little thing that is worth mentioning here is Northwestern is one of the least explosive offenses in the country. We talked a ton about this entire season how prior to the Purdue game, Minnesota's average touchdown length was 34 yards on 31 Big Ten touchdowns. Well, how does that impact us with Northwestern? Northwestern ranks as the 125th out of 129 FBS teams in generating explosive plays on offense. So for a Gopher defense that's still going through a lot of change, that is great news. So if Minnesota is able to stop the run and force Thornton to beat them, that's likely great news. And finally, as it's going to be every week, Luke, until this changes, you have to win the turnover battle.
Right.
In a tight projected game, Vegas has this as a three-point game. It's going to be a tightly contested game more than likely. If you're going to win in the Big Ten, regardless of opponent, you have to win the turnover battle. Minnesota remains dead last in Big Ten play and turnover margin. They have 18 turnovers in seven games and just 10 takeaways. Now, this Northwestern pass defense that I've mentioned that has been so injury-riddled has more interceptions than touchdowns allowed. So even without three of their top four defensive backs for essentially the entire Big Ten play, they've been very opportunistic. Now, we're going to see how much that changes with their top defensive back out. But Tanner Morgan is going to have to pick his spots where he's going to push the ball because that Wildcat defense continues to be opportunistic. And then if you're Minnesota's offense, if you're able to take care of the ball like you did last week, that's going to be another recipe for success because if you give the Northwestern offense the ball in a short field, you can't allow them to get cheap points. So if you win the turnover battle, figure out a way to stop the run and make Clayton Thorson beat you, and then stay on schedule offensively, I think it's going to be a joyous day this Saturday morning.
I'll say this. I felt like I was listening to you do an overview of like the 2016-2017 Gopher football team because like I know you mentioned that, but it's like, yeah, they're not very explosive. Their defense is really good, but they're not very explosive. It's like, wow, that's what we basically complained about for the better part of 2 years.
Their quarterback has a negative touchdown interception ratio. He's throwing it for under 150 yards a game. They're leaning heavily on a feature running back. Their defense has been propelling them forward. The difference is Minnesota found ways to lose games in those 2016 and 2017 seasons. Northwestern finds these ways to win games, and that's credit to Pat Fitzgerald and his team. But it is eerily similar to the recent Gopher teams of yesteryear.
You know, one thing, I don't know if you noted this, but if my math is correct, I think the Gophers are 5-1 at home this year.
I have no reason to doubt you.
I think it makes sense to me. Yeah, I think they are the only loss. That's the only loss that I can see right now.
So you look at the wins that Minnesota's had, the two most impressive wins, Fresno State and Purdue, both at home.
All right, so let's get to predictions. I guess when I look at this game, I think that Northwestern's defense is even down, I am going to take them. I think I've talked Ryan out of picking Northwestern for the Gophers to beat them multiple times. So I'm going to follow my own adage. I'm going to pick Northwestern in this game. I'll give them a 24-21 victory. I don't know. I just don't have a great feel about this. Fitzgerald seems to have the Gophers numbers in years past, not to mention last year where the Gophers couldn't even score. I think it'll be a close game, but I'll give the slight edge to the Big Ten West champions.
So, Saturday, senior day.
Yep.
Blake Cashman.
Yep.
I think he's going to have a big day. Totally, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm taking a stroll down Narrative Street, where Northwestern, you just won the Big Ten West championship. It's a letdown spot for you. You have to travel to Minneapolis. It's an 11 a.m. game. Are you going to be awake for it? Minnesota's got senior day. They really have aspirations of getting to a bowl, and you're coming off your best win of the 2018 season. So I think Northwestern's going to rest a surprise player or two. I think this game is going to be closer to the fourth quarter regardless. But if PJ Fleck's team is going to be bowling this year, they obviously have to get a win either this week or at Wisconsin. On paper, this sets up to be a much more winnable game considering you have it at home. You've played exceptional at home. So I think it's going to be close in the fourth quarter, but I see this Gopher team hanging on 24-23.
All right, that'll do it for this episode. We want to thank everyone for listening. As always, if you do enjoy the podcast, please check out whatever podcasting aggregator you use. We'd really appreciate it if you'd rate and subscribe. That helps people find the podcast. It really does, and we appreciate that. Again, we want to thank our sponsor, the Goal Line Club. Really appreciate them. And again, go Gophers.